All right, we'll get started here. So thanks everyone for joining. I'm Alex Mexica. I'm with 4Front DAO, and we got Jay and Jihad here, also from 4Front DAO. Reason I'm holding this is we're actually going to be recording this session and throwing it up on our podcast. And this is going to be a little bit different the way we're going to treat this one, because while we have these two guys on the panel, we kind of want the third surprise panelist to be pretty much anyone here, to be able to contribute and not just ask questions, but actually contribute to the conversation. And just for the sake of time, we'll probably only have enough time for one person per question or concept that we go through here. So I'll try and moderate and just say, hey, let's move on to the next topic, whatever else. But I wanted to set that stage right at the beginning that this is going to be a more participatory type of talk for those that want to actually comment on here. So for the topic that we're covering today, it's going to be tokenized communities, platformless quests, and Web3 social. And to kick us off, I wanted to start off with a quote that Jihad wrote in one of his articles here recently. So Jacob Horn argues in his essay on hyperstructures that crypto protocols built with certain traits are valuable not because of cash flows through extractive fees or asset valuation. Instead, they are valuable due to the shared ownership of the protocol by those building on and using it. And what's interesting is in the traditional world, you have this adage that cash flow is king. And I wanted to open it up and start here to start talking about why is in this new, in the protocol world, why is cash flow no longer king? How can we be thinking about things differently when it comes to valuation of communities and protocols if cash flow is not going to take that top spot?
Thanks, Alex. So I think a really important distinction that needs to be made here is between a protocol and a community. I think a lot of what Jacob says in that hyperstructures essay is true and very relevant and is really eye-opening for a lot of folks in the space. But I think a lot of folks have also just said, oh, a hyperstructure can be any DAO, or it can be this philosophy can be attributed to any community. And he's very, very particular in the piece to say no, this is specifically for protocols because of the traits that a protocol has, that it is free, it is unstoppable, it is open. And as a result, it has these specific characteristics that other types of organizations might not have, right? On the community side of things, I think cash flow definitely is king, right? And I think cash flow just looks different. It might not be revenue that is going into the pockets of shareholders, but it is revenue that's going into a community treasury that is then collectively governed, right? I, as a token holder, might not ever see that cash, and yet it is still valuable for me to be governing that treasury and governing the way that cash is allocated. I think the distinction that I make in the piece and the distinction that I want to make broadly is that the hyperstructures is a really great mental model to apply across organizations. But when we're taking the specific characteristics that Jacob describes, we have to make sure that we're talking about protocols and not just DAOs, communities, whatever word we want to use broadly.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for the distinction. Anything you want to comment on there, Jay? Or
I mean, not much. I think the cash flow is king. I think we're seeing also the interpretation of cash being different. So you're seeing social capital, and even our conversation the other day, with the whole seeing. I'm not a huge fan of seeing NFTs have automated market makers, because I think it's kind of fucked up from an artist's perspective. But Jihad made a great point of it does bring kind of it turns NFTs into something more than it has them being a value backed or maybe a community. They just have an inherent value that behind them that isn't art, I guess, which is made me pause. But I think that's kind of the whole idea of cash flow being more than just a monetary asset. So I think that's kind of some of the power as well with a lot of these new communities as well. So I don't know if you want to build on.
Awesome. If anyone has any questions from the audience, please just come up and raise your hand. But we'll move on to the next topic here, talking about the positive sum nature of tokenized communities. So I think what's really interesting is when you talk about DAOs, the kind of traditional adjacency that people always make is co-ops. And when you think about tokenizing a community, what I've always found about it that I love is you introduce a financialization aspect to it. You can now create this kind of incentive structure to align people to an actual goal that might not have been as effective with the traditional tools at our disposal. I think public goods and a lot of refi is a good example of that. So Can you just comment and talk about how tokenizing communities introduces more and injects more of this positive sum aspect and relationship between the core team and the community versus the way things might have been traditionally done in things like co-ops?
Yeah. Again, like, I guess semantic point. So like at Forefront, we use this term tokenized communities a lot, and we use it as a distinct type of organization from DAOs, right? Overlapping, but distinct. And the distinction that we make is that tokenized communities are focused on like three key traits. A, they are like drawn together by a core mission or meme. B, they are focused on collective capital allocation, like a lot of DAOs. But C, that collective capital allocation is focused on allocating funds to community projects. So just like to use an example, ENS DAO is like, does it have a meme or mission? Yeah, the mission is, you know, supporting the protocol. Do they have a treasury that is collectively governed? Yes, but like, is it actively collectively governed? Question mark. And then third, community projects. There really aren't community projects that are coming out of ENS. So ENS might be a very high quality DAO, but we wouldn't consider it a tokenized community by that definition, right? Other hand, SongCamp is a really good example of an organization where you have a shared meme or mission, you have a community treasury that is collectively governed, and that treasury is allocated towards community projects. So going to this idea of positive sum and like how like this distinction plays out, I think what's really, really interesting about the tokenized community is you're allowing for the flow of creative projects, and like that's very broad, right? It could be a tool that somebody builds, like software, or it could be an album that somebody wrote that is promoting the meme or mission, right? These projects are distinct. They are autonomous. It is like the individual creators or group of people that might be working on them, but they flow into the community and like brought into the community bubble by the fact that they are funded. So everybody is sort of aligned around the fact that like, hey, we're all here for the shared meme or mission, but I might be working on this project independent of everybody else in the organization, despite the fact that that project is aligned with the organization due to the fact that it got funded. I really liked what you said about like different forms of capital. Like, I think this definition that we're putting out right now might be limited. There might be other ways to push forward this philosophy of a tokenized community without allocating like cash from a treasury to a project. But I think in general, that's where this like really fun creative work starts to happen that isn't really possible in traditional types of organizations because of how monolithic they are.
Yeah. Anything from the audience?
Yeah, I wanted to mention that in addition to tokenized community, you could also have community tokens. And also going back to the previous question, I wanted to mention, for example, Helium, you know, right now has a market cap, even though it's been reduced, $600 million. And then there was like that tweet of the disclosure that like in June they made $6,000, right? So that's or 10,000 times. Or for example, Decentraland has a market cap of $1.4 billion. Back in March, reported that they had about 300,000 active users. So that's at least, you know, $4,000 per user. And so obviously, if you go through the Web2 model, like how do you explain these like, you know, 1,000x revenue multiples? And I think when it comes to like the community, then it's like it's not necessarily based on some future dividend, especially if you take securities laws in effect. So I think tokens has a lot of baggage, same with like DAOs, of like lots of these different definitions. So I think it's really interesting to come up with new taxonomies to be able to define like where exactly people are, you know, investing in this in terms of like how they're choosing to value anything that they're a part of.
Yeah, I really like that point, actually. Like, we see this in like the stock market, right? When GameStop was going crazy, there's like a meme multiple on these stocks, right? And like with tokenized communities, you see the same thing. There's like a meme multiple here where like as this meme is proliferating, the money in the treasury might not be keeping up with the fact that like this meme is just like attracting a lot of folks to buy the token and bring them into the community. You could argue that is like a very Ponzi-nomic approach, right? And I would argue that like there still needs to be some sort of like underlying revenue generating activity that is making the community productive. But like the gap between the actual like revenue generating activity and the value of the community is influenced by that meme multiple. You could also argue it's a governance multiple, right? It's the fact that I have like power over that treasury as a token holder.
Yeah. We like the stock turns into we like the vibes, we like the meme. So there's justification there in the value that it and where that's coming from. It's like you just said, it's not just like a revenue multiplier on top of the market cap there. So aside from the vibes, aside from the memes, Another aspect here, I feel like I at least didn't hear it a whole lot in MCON. I might have just been in between, but I feel like there is the DAO to DAO conversation talking about now where you have a shared ownership in the community. There's a value aspect there. Now, let's talk about not what we think about the community is just people who are participating in the DAO or core teams, whatever, individuals who are involved in the DAO. But I think there's an aspect here where you have these DAO to DAO relationships where DAOs and their treasuries have a certain aspect of other, if we're talking about DAO tokens or social tokens from other communities, and we're going down the DAO route here. But if you think about DAO to DAO and community to community in a tokenized way and the way that they're sharing that financial incentive for those other communities to be beneficial by having a shared ownership and through not just what they're doing in their own mission, but how they're partnering and how they're bringing people up and kind of a 1+1=3. Can you talk a little bit more about how that the tokenizing the community can introduce a lot more shared ownership between different communities and that kind of creates a net positive on top of just the dollar amount that's shared in each of those treasuries?
Yeah, we were actually like talking about this the other day, but kind of like the really interesting part to see about all this is like seeing like network effects and kind of allowing somebody to participate in maybe networks they usually don't have, like especially, you know, post-COVID and like with a lot of like geographical kind of binders. I think that's like one of like the most interesting parts for me to see, especially on like the art side of things. Like usually, you know, if you're not in like a large metropolitan city as an artist, you're like not even in being able to be involved in those conversations. And to see whether it's a DAO or a tokenized community or whatever, but you're able to see these kind of like, I know it's like definitely kind of meme-y and a bit kitsch, but to see like this like fractalization of a single person being able to capitalize on like the collective connection between multiple communities and multiple networks. And like it's kind of cool to also see, you know, when things are financialized, to see people have the opportunity to tap into those networks of opportunity for capital or even just to be able to like make money doing what you want. That's kind of like one of the really interesting components, I think, of like this shared kind of positive sum nature. So I don't know.
Yeah, I want to like double click on this this point around like artists or creator communities. We talk about like what are the powerful unlocks of Web3 or what are the powerful unlocks of tokenized communities for creators, and I'm sure we could like list a whole bunch. I think one of the really exciting things though is the fact that we went from like 100 or 1,000 true fans to this idea that like as an artist or as a creator, you don't actually need to build an audience. You can just be a part of one of these communities, build something that is mission aligned, and be supported for it, right? And I think that is like a really powerful transition, right? Like as an artist, I might still want individual autonomy or sovereignty over my community. I might still want to build some sort of audience, but you don't need to do that, right? Like that's a huge, this modularity of communities where like we're not thinking about these organizations as monolithic, but we're thinking about it as like I as an individual creator or builder can tap into the Forefront community or tap into the SongCamp network because these are communities that are related to what I am building and what I want to do. I think it's something that we haven't really seen unlocked even 1% yet to the opportunity that's there, right? And I think over the last year and a half, like since the last MCON, right? The last MCON, we had a lot of conversations about like fluid contribution and how like I as a DAO contributor am able to like work for three different DAOs and how I manage that, right? And like that's still happening, right? That's definitely like a model that works. And then there was another model around, okay, no, it's actually about like these small teams and we need like more focus on individuals that are high trust working on small teams. And I think what we're pushing now is individual squads or individual creators working completely independently and autonomously from the communities that exist and then tapping into the communities when they are relevant and when it makes sense for both parties, right? You see this a ton in the Nouns ecosystem right now. People are building for Nouns. Most really don't believe in the Nouns meme, right? Like if we're being totally honest with ourselves, most are like putting proposals up to the treasury because Nouns got like a fat stack of ETH and like I can get some money out of it. But it is a game where it benefits Nouns because like things are being built for the ecosystem that are like beneficial for the community and beneficial for the token value in the network. And it's beneficial for the creator, right? Like I wouldn't say the creator is getting screwed if they're getting 20 ETH out of the project that they're building. So yeah, I think it's just we've sort of evolved from like a more monolithic to modular model, and there's a ton of opportunity there.
I found it interesting you guys brought up the Hyperstructures article, because literally we were just reading it last week. It's really good. I really loved everything in it. Like, as far as like you were talking about cash flow earlier, I find that like not the proper term to talk about DAO ecosystems, right? Like, we prefer to use like value flows or value containment and words like that, because I think it more properly, like, I feel like cash flow almost feels like extractive, right? It's like a legacy company. And with DAO ecosystems, we don't have to be like that, right? It's very frictionless the way that value accrues to DAOs. So there was something that, oh, positive sum. That's such an interesting intrinsic nature of DAOs, right? Like, when we were designing our game economy, we wrapped it in a DAO because we realized it helps contain the value in the ecosystem better. And it actually created like a weird positive sum nature in our game that we'd kind of not seen before. And it's almost like you're at a casino and you're gambling at the casino, but all the people in the casino own the casino also, right? So, yeah, that's all I had to say.
I love that. Yeah, that is an amazing analogy. I love that. Well, okay, so we've been talking a bit about how, coming back to this concept of, you can have all these different artists within a community working completely independently from each other and kind of doing their own thing, and then the things that they're actually creating are valuable enough to the community where they actually benefit as being part of a community owner. So I want to start talking about something like platformless quests, which is this whole concept of like, how do you, from a decentralized standpoint, and even when you're maybe working in a silo and not actually talking to any other human beings, how do you set up a system for reputation to quantify the value that someone is actually adding to that community? What do those look like? I know we talked about some of the typicals, like Coordinate, where you might be in something like Forefront when we're doing our season planning and everyone's in a Discord and we're talking and people's like, oh, that's a really good point. How about that? Well, in these other communities where you might have, and you want to encourage people to kind of work in silos and like, do your own thing. Don't be overly influenced by everyone else. Don't let us tell you what to do. You do your own thing. How do you start to quantify, or at least give some kind of kickback to that person? And like, this is the amount of value that you added to the community. How do we reward you for that?
Do you want to? You go first.
This is a tough one. I'm like, I have an answer, but I'm like workshopping these ideas as we're talking. So like, you guys are my guinea pigs. I think going back to this idea of like community modularity, right? You could think about like different layers of interactions that happen, or like different layers of community itself. So like, there's like the actual network. There's the people that are sitting in the room. We're all here because of MCON. We're all here because we like DAOs. There's like a, we'll call it a protocol layer. It doesn't necessarily need to be a software protocol. It's more so just like, what are the rules and norms around how these people are interacting, right? And then there's like the economic, like builder layer, like, okay, now you provided value based off of that, those protocols that were set, and you might get some money from the treasury or whatever it might look like, right? I think going to this idea of platformless quests, like, a lot of folks have rightfully said that DAOs aren't actually permissionless, or they're not actually platformless because they're stuck in the Discord, and like, I still need to apply to get into this community. So like, This is all BS. True, like, you do need to do all of those things. But like, I think when we're thinking about the community, we need to like think about it at like the abstract level of just like the token holder, right? And then like, because the token level is permissionless, theoretically, if you didn't like the way Forefront was running things, you could just say like, okay, I'm gonna fork the community. Like, I'm gonna go build my own little community on Geneva using the same Forefront token, and have different protocols for interaction and different ways that people are allocating capital and whatever it might be. So to go back to your question directly, I think this idea of like platformless quests and making sure that like folks are getting rewarded for like the value that they're providing across the community, I think we're limiting ourselves by thinking about that like strictly within the confines of the Discord or strictly within the confines of whatever the community space is right now. I need to think a little bit bigger about like, how, as a tokenized community, can I leverage the power of the fact that this token is truly platformless? The other tools we're using aren't platformless, but the token is, so that as an individual community member, I could interact with folks across the internet, across the world, and drive like value mechanics wherever we are, not just in those spaces.
Yeah, it's a lot in there. I think it's like the reputation, like the credit thing's really hard, because I feel like that's something, that's what gets me excited about Web3, because, you know, I also think about like hip hop and graffiti, and there's all these things that like were like these like key pillars, I think, of like modern culture, and like the amount of like credit the people who started all those movements have, like, they haven't gotten like anything. Like it's kind of like it's been appropriated, it's been like pushed away. And I think that's like where the power is moving forward, but I still don't know like the best answer of how we're going to achieve that, because a lot of these like reputation systems get very dystopian really quick. And I also think like a lot of like reputation, at least in the way of, like, I feel like art and some of these things works, comes from like, I don't want to call it like the cool factor, but you know, it's like you just kind of like earn that like respect by doing these things. And I don't know how we quantify that really on chain yet. And I don't know if it needs to be quantified on chain, which is kind of like an interesting maybe dilemma moving forward. Like, so I don't know. That doesn't really answer any of these questions. It's just these thoughts. It's just thoughts I've been having. I don't know. So.
No, I'm glad you say all that, because this kind of gets into my devil's advocate point that I was going to bring up, which is the over-financialization of everything. And this is something that I think we've all thought about, where, yes, you can introduce tokenizing a community, and now you're creating this incentive structure that drives people to do things the way you want them to do things. Well, there's a few problems with that. If you're not actually designing the tokenomics correctly, well, then you could be unaware that you're actually incentivizing people to do other things. You look at something like LooksRare, and they purposefully try to build something into it where you're not doing wash trading, and yet you look at the volume on LooksRare soon after that, and you have all this wash trading going on. And then there's like the very thing that they tried to design away, people are still finding ways to capitalize on that. So what does that future look like, where I totally agree in that we don't necessarily need to quantify everything, because so much of the way that we interact, especially art, is not like a quantification thing. It's a subjective aspect to that. And maybe we need to figure out how are people getting rewarded and compensated for something that's inherently subjective. That's a very difficult problem to solve. The other dystopian future you could look at it here is that, great, we're moving from platforms to protocols, and now you don't have platforms actually taking your data and using that to shove ads down your throat. But now everyone has a bag that they want to shill, and now instead of it being targeted ads straight to you, you have all of your friends and all of their friends just in this total echo chamber shilling whatever it is that they want, and then you're totally gassed out. So is this an overly dystopian future, or what are the things that how can we start to be thinking about things differently and purposefully designing it so that that future isn't the default?
Yeah, that's kind of like when we were talking about like the tokenization point. Like, I think, I don't necessarily know if like tokenization actually leads to like the positive sum mentality. I think that's something that has to happen before. And I think that's kind of like what we're saying is like these like reputation systems and, hold on. There's just a lot here. yeah, no, it's just like, it's funny. I talked to Jihad a lot this about, I like come from like an art background, and like a lot of this like financialization stuff really bugs me, because it still doesn't like really accrue any value back to like the artist in a way. It's more of like treating art as like a commodity, something that's like speculated on. And we know that's like a broken system, and like, we're just like recreating it with like some like Web3 tooling. And so it's like, how do we actually kind of come about this in a way that I guess still puts like the person and like the creator first, and the creator definitely like a broad spectrum here. And it's, yeah, I don't know if we still have any of those answers quite yet, but I'm rambling, so I'm going to pass it to you.
I think the conversation that we had about this, though, was like really eye-opening for me, because I feel like as somebody who doesn't come from an art background, right, and has seen this like term creator purely from like an internet lens, right, not necessarily like a more traditional lens, it's like easy to forget these things. I agree with you that we are heading toward a dystopian future. I think there are two things that can combat, like, if we continue down the path that we're on right now, that is the future that we will hit 100%. I think there's two things that can combat that. I think first, like, to use NFT communities as an example, y'all remember like Cool Cats? So last year. But I remember like peak Cool Cats people were just like shilling the hell out of them. Like everybody was like, you need a cool cat. You need a cool cat. Every NFT collector would say, what NFT collection should I buy? And people would be like, cool cats, cool cats, cool cats. And then everybody else would be shilling their shit too. But like primarily it was, you know, it was, that's what was hot that week. Right. Then you have a different community, and we'll use nouns as an example. I know people hate when I use this as an example for literally everything, but I think it's a good one. Yeah. There's like meme proliferation in nouns, which really means shilling if you like boil it down. But for some reason, it feels a little better. Like it's annoying because you keep seeing it everywhere, but it feels like it's like shoving it down your throat a little bit more or a little bit less. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's part of it, right? That's definitely part of it. And I think like another part of it is like people are doing their own thing in the community, and it's just like the shilling is just coming from the fact that so many people are doing so many different things rather than with Cool Cats or whatever NFT PFP collection before. It was like, no, people are just shoving this down your throat because they want to make token price go up, right? Yeah, right. Exactly. I can't afford a noun, right? So, the point I'm making here is there's a difference between like holding a token and holding a token in common, right? And I think we went from, oh yeah, we have these communities, like I'm a part of the Cool Cats community, but in reality, everybody was just trying to pump their bags and everybody was like pretending that they found community when in reality, like there's no way in hell you found community in the first 24 hours of this Discord when the floor price was going up 10x, right? On the other hand, though, when we're really thinking about holding in common and saying like, sure, like we want the value of this community to increase, but it's more focused on like, how do we make this collectively owned treasury bigger? How do we make, you know, like collectively owned like assets or infrastructure more effective or more valuable? And then we're all like receiving the benefit from that by still holding the token. And then I'll say that like, we're already seeing this, not just like the people in this room, but like VCs are buying nouns because they know that not that necessarily that the individual noun is going to go up in value, but they know that like having that political capital is really important for like their portfolio company, right? That is a different sort of value. That isn't like shilling. That's quite literally political capital. And we're already starting to see folks like go that route. So I think that's a little bit less dystopian. Maybe it's still dystopian, but it's a better future than. Yeah.
Well, I think the point there is that you can't just add tokenization to a community and say you've just solved all ills. This is something that you have to purposefully think about. How can I design away all of the incentives that I don't want to create for people? And how do I keep it so that it is to everyone's most financial benefit to worry about the community and uplifting the community versus a lot more selfish ways where you might just be pumping your own bags, shilling your bags. Like, just easier said than done. So much easier said than done, but it's going to be one of those problems that you have to be constantly thinking about designing away when it is that you're trying to build other different incentive structures. And I think that's what's so awesome about the open source way of doing things, the very open way of doing things, is we can all try and fail together and build on top of those failures and successes. So the more we can do things like this and talk as a group and saying like, what is working? Because people are just shilling this project. There's not a real community. How do you get away from that problem? We're coming up on time here, but I wanted to wrap up with this last point of the a community focused way of going about things versus something like a company first, a product or a customer first, product first, competitor first. This is a point made by Lee Jin on Twitter. And the whole idea that she had here is that with tokenized communities, you have a community first approach and the community ends up being something like customer zero, where the problems that they're trying to solve are problems that that community specifically has. And they all feel that problem and they're all basically customer zero to say, I'm giving immediate, very closed loop feedback where you can design something that actually, whether that's some kind of product or way about designing the DAO itself, whatever, or community itself, what do you think about that new way of doing things here where you have these kind of very famous examples of customer focus being the most popular with Amazon, something like Apple, being a very successful approach. And now we have something like community approach where we're looking inward and they're kind of the customer zero, they're the testers and designing something that then after you make it work for that community, then you can then send it out to other communities. So what does that future look like in your opinion? And maybe examples that you've already seen with that kind of approach.
Yeah, I kind of push back. I think it's still the exact same thing. I think a lot of communities are actually just like, it's just kind of a psyop for grift and for product development. Like, it's really like most communities are just like giant sources of like free labor and product development. Like, I don't know. I think like communities happen, like where communities happen, that's, you know, in music and art. And I think we're seeing communities around other projects that aren't those things, but I still think at the end of the day, it's still like a way for somebody to like get a bunch of crowd thought or crowd think and then make a product and then make money, which is cool. But I don't, well, I mean, but it's true though. I don't know. Like, even that question is like, the community is still customer zero. Like,
yeah, it is.
It's still a fucking customer. It's not any different. So I don't, kind of like, it's just more of like a direct feedback loop. I don't know. Jihad might not agree. No, I just think about this a lot.
My question for you is, do you think there are communities that exist that are healthy that aren't customer zero? And you're saying that, like, yes, we should pursue community, but like, no, they shouldn't be thought of as a customer?
I think so. But I also think that's kind of like, maybe those communities might also like, they might not be like, that's not maybe a community that you wouldn't tokenize right away or something. It's like, I don't know, the community, like, I feel like Uniswap is still, you're building products and you're trying to like, you're not the customer of the product, but you're definitely like a user providing that feedback to make the product better. I'm trying to think of an example. There's a community called like Serving the People that is a little interesting, but it's like trying to build like an art platform. And I think the focus there is like the community is actually like, they do like biweekly crits and they're trying to like kind of like build a network that allows for opportunity to kind of come. And I don't really know what the fuck the product is. I don't even know how, if it's going to work, because it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like the whole thing of like, if cash is king, like, I don't know how you make money. Like, we might sell t-shirts or something, but like, that's kind of it. So I don't know. I just think in the last year, community has been a psyop in a little bit. There are a lot of good communities, but still.
Yeah, I generally agree. And just to close this up, I agree with your point that like premature tokenization, I take that one step further and say you can take advantage of the benefits of Web3 and the benefits of tokenized community without tokenizing your own community. And what I mean by that is, if we wanted, like, this room is a community, right? We're all like, oh yeah, we're so excited about this talk. Like, Jay, your point was amazing. We're going to start a DAO around the word of Jay, right? Like, but in all seriousness, like, we shouldn't tokenize, but maybe we can like, you know, get together, have a project idea, have a couple project ideas that we want to work on, and then like go to Forefront and get funding, or go to some other mission aligned, already tokenized network to get funding. Because like, in reality, those networks are only going to get valuable if like other like subgroups and other communities and other creators tap into those networks and, you know, play within that flywheel. And your community is only going to be valuable if you stop trying to prematurely tokenize everything, because it's not every community can be tokenized. So yeah, I generally agree. Like, a lot of it is a psyop. I think a lot of it is because VC money is coming into the space and you need to get those returns. But I do think there are like very legitimate revolutionary ways that like these things can play out. And we just need to like actually embrace those things and recognize that those things aren't necessarily going to make individuals a lot of cash. And that's not the point.
I think that's a great point to leave on. So thanks everyone for joining and participating. A little bit of an experiment there. So hope you all enjoyed it. Thanks for joining.